baseball.
This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, the only podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball, featuring interviews with coaches and guests from across the country.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com, Joe Healy of Baseball America, Chris Burke is with the ESPN SEC Network.
Now from Fayetteville, here's your host, Matt Jones.
He's 1-for-13 against Tennessee.
That's all right. It's not what you hit, it's when you hit, Phil.
You need one now. 2-0 the count. Here's the pitch. A swing, a line drive. Base hit down the left field line. Here comes Kenley with a winning run. And the Razorbacks have swept Tennessee. Casey Opitz did it again. And they're chasing him into left field.
A great call by Phil Elson and Bubba Carpenter on the Razorback Sports Network by Learfield IMG College last Sunday as Arkansas came back to defeat Tennessee 4-3 in 10 innings and sweep a top 20 team for the second straight weekend. There are 3 weeks left in the regular season, and Arkansas is 2 games ahead of the pack in the SEC West by virtue of that sweep of Tennessee. The Razorbacks have a chance to add to that lead this weekend when they play at Kentucky, which is one of the worst teams in the SEC, tied with Alabama for the worst conference record in the league. At the same time as Arkansas is playing Kentucky, their chief contenders in that SEC West race are playing each other. LSU's hosting Ole Miss this weekend, and Mississippi State is at Texas A&M. Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Jones, and this is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Today's show will be a little shorter than we've had in the past few weeks, but we have a couple of more in-depth podcasts lined up over the next 2 weeks, so you'll want to tune back in for those. Today, our guest is Aaron Fitt. Aaron's a longtime college baseball reporter, formerly of Baseball America. Now he's the co-editor at D1Baseball.com. Aaron, we appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure.
Hey, so let's talk some first about this Arkansas team this year. As you look last year at what Arkansas lost from that team and what they've done this year with this 35-11 start tied for the SEC lead with 3 weeks left, just what are your thoughts about the program?
Well, it just shows you, you know, this is an elite program that, you know, can keep on doing this year after year and reload and never really have a rebuilding year. It's really hard to do that in college baseball. You know, you look around the country at some of the elite programs that are struggling. You know, the Cal State Fullerton, you know, has been in regionals 27 years in a row. They're not going to make it this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Clemson's on the bubble. I mean, you know, TCU, Virginia, teams that have been in Omaha, they're not going to make regionals, you know, for the second year in a row in their cases. So to do this every single year is just really, really impressive. And, you know, it's just kind of next man up over there. They do such a great job recruiting, and it seems like they always have guys waiting in the wings when they lose veteran players. They have replacements that are ready to go, and they bring in new guys that hit the ground running. And it's just a testament to, you know, the program that Dave Van Horn has built there and the culture he's built and the recruiting machine that they've got.
You know, Arkansas has been in the regional, I think, every year but one under Van Horn. What would that be, 16 of 17 years now? But it seems like, Aaron, when they've had teams that go to the World Series, say like in 2012 or in 2015, there's always a step back the next year. And then they rebuild and they're back. It's been a 3-year sequence here over the last several years. What do you think maybe is different about, you know, this year's team? Is it the fact that they've got the guys like Casey Martin and Heston Kerstad, or do you see something else?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it is, you know, they had those guys stars freshmen last year, and, you know, they were ready to become leaders of this team as sophomores and have done so. You know, I mean, they've got the star power. You know, Dominic Fletcher, of course, is the other key guy coming back. Yeah. Gives them that star power in the middle. So it's just, you know, it's nice to have premium guys up the middle too, and they do with Casey at short and, you know, Fletcher in center field. And and they got a really good grad transfer, you know, from Southeast Missouri State and Trevor Ezell. And so I just think they've plugged the holes well, but they already had a foundation in place. And Isaiah Campbell, of course, and Matt Cronin. I mean, you know, you talk about star power. I think they were tied for the most preseason All-Americans in the country heading into the season, and they might wind up having more postseason All-Americans than they had preseason All-Americans because these guys have performed.
You know, it seems to me, Aaron, that sometimes disappointment can be as much of a factor in a team's success as talent. So, for instance, take Oregon State last year. Oregon State in 2018, they weren't as good of a team necessarily as they were in 2017, but they won the national championship. Vanderbilt in 2014, you know, they weren't maybe as good as the 2013 Vanderbilt team. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that maybe the disappointment of last year is helping along this Arkansas program?
And the same goes for Virginia. You know, when they finished as national runner-up to Vanderbilt, that was their juggernaut team. You know, it was the best team in the country all year long. And the next year, they snuck into regionals as a 3 seed and went on the road, you know, and regional across country and wound up getting Omaha and wing at all, you know. So I just think the experience of having gotten there is a big part of it, in addition to, you know, the motivation factor that comes from falling short. I just think it really matters to have Omaha experience. And that doesn't mean you can't win at all if you don't have that. I mean, look at Coastal Carolina, but it's a lot more common to see teams win at all that have been there before. And so for me, I think it's that simple.
You guys do regional projections each week throughout the season, and right now Arkansas is a national seed in your bracket. What does Arkansas need to do here over the final 3 weeks of the regular season and into the SEC tournament? Maybe what's the minimum they can do to hold on to one of those top 8 seeds?
Well, they're in really good shape, obviously. You know, they're 15-6 in the league. They're number 3 in the RPI. They're 14-6 against the top 50. And all those metrics that you look for are really strong. And so I think it's a matter of not falling on their faces at this point. You know, you would expect them to win this series at Kentucky this weekend, even though it's on the road, because Kentucky's one of the bottom feeders in the league. I mean, that doesn't mean they can't beat you. You know, they have done that this year. They've snuck up and beat some people. But that's a series that you probably would expect Arkansas to win. And then, you know, if you can hold serve at home against LSU, it probably doesn't even matter what you do at Texas A&M the last weekend. But, you know, with 15 wins in the league, I think if they get to, you know, 19, you know, they would have to finish 4-5 down the stretch to get to 19-11. I think that's probably sufficient to still be a national seed.
A lot of really good Arkansas teams, looking past Kentucky this weekend, a lot of really good Arkansas teams have had problems with LSU, even in years where LSU's maybe been down relative to where people expect LSU to be. How does Arkansas match up, you think, with LSU? And then you mentioned A&M at the end of the season. What do you think those matchups are potentially?
I think Arkansas and LSU are built fairly similarly. I mean, they both have obvious firepower and star power in the lineups. I think Arkansas has a deeper lineup than LSU has. I think the bottom half of that LSU lineup is a lot more pitchable than the bottom half of Arkansas's lineup. And then on the mound, I mean, you know, the big difference, I guess they're both leaning on freshmen pretty heavily now. I mean, obviously Arkansas has 2 freshmen in the rotation, and LSU has had various guys cycle through there. Right now, I think it's Landon Marceau, who's a high-profile freshman who had struggled earlier in the year, but it pitched better lately. And they've had Cole Henry in the rotation, another freshman. So, you know, both these teams are going to rely on some young arms, but they also have your veteran guys that have power stuff, of course, at the top with Zach Hess and Isaiah Campbell. And then in the bullpen, you got your horses back there with, you know, Matt Cronin and Todd Peterson in LSU's case. And I think they both have solid supporting casts in those bullpens as well. So really, I think they're fairly similar clubs. I just think Arkansas is a little better.
What have you thought of Isaiah Campbell this year? When you were in Omaha last year, you got to see the Isaiah Campbell that everybody saw all season, where against Florida, he pitched masterfully. And then he comes out against Oregon State and can't get the job done. And that was kind of the way it was for him all season. This year, he's been so much more consistent. You know, there's some talk that maybe he might even be a candidate for pitcher of the year in the SEC. Just what have you thought about the way that he's been able to overcome those inconsistencies of last year and make himself into such a strong starting pitcher?
Yeah, I think he is definitely a candidate for SEC pitcher of the year. You know, and there's other strong candidates, of course, and you look at Emerson Hancock and Ethan Small, but what Campbell has done, like you said, that consistency week in and week out is really impressive. And to me, the thing that jumps out is that strikeout walk rate. I mean, he's got 81 strikeouts and just 13 walks in 71 innings. That's really good, you know, and that's just a product, I think, of his maturation over the course of 3 years there. And, you know, and I think he's just, I don't know, he's come into his own. He's always had really good stuff. We've known that, but he's been able to stay healthy, been able to repeat his delivery. He's been able to repeat his command. And so it's neat to see a guy figure it out over the course of his collegiate career, and he's got a really bright pro future ahead of him too. He could be a first round pick if he keeps this up.
Yeah, he and Garrett Crochet both are low walk guys, and both of them got they got in the middle of a tight strike zone last week, and that affected the walk totals for both of them. Hey, speaking, so we talked about pitcher of the year. Who are some of the candidates, Aaron, for national coach of the year? And do you think Van Horn factors into that discussion at all?
Yeah, I do think he factors in, you know, for what they've done. I mean, they've been better than anyone expected them to be. We all thought they'd be good. You know, I think they were preseason, I don't know, certainly top 15 for us, mm-hmm. And probably for most people. But, you know, to be sitting here in the top five and having the kind of year they've had, with the losses they had from last year's team and, you know, and just the whole narrative of coming back from that horrible disappointment, you know, in the College World Series finals. I mean, that's a tough way to lose. And sometimes there could be a hangover from that, and there wasn't for this program. So, yes, I think he's right in the mix. I think John Savage at UCLA has to be in the mix as good as they've been. I mean, they've been the best team in the country. Their resume is impeccable. You know, with four series wins right now against teams that are currently inside our top 10. It's just amazing. But, you know, I think Cliff Godwin at East Carolina has done a nice job. You know, I think Steve Rodriguez at Baylor really deserves a lot of credit because that team lost their number one starter, preseason All-American Cody Bradford before the season. And, they were without their other preseason All-American Shea Langeliers for quite a while. And they've just kept on trucking and they're sitting in first place in the Big 12. So for me, he's strongly in that mix as well.
You know, as we get closer to the regional selections, what kind of hosting situation is the SEC in right now? I mean, I guess we're looking at maybe kind of like last year, there's what, maybe four top eight seeds potentially coming out of this conference. But in terms of how many regionals, what's the ceiling that the SEC could get in terms of hosting?
Right now, it feels like Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Georgia are all probably locks to host. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're looking at probably right now we've got LSU projected as a fifth host in the league. But, you know, you've also got Ole Miss kind of lurking. You got Auburn and A&M all right there in the mix, depending on how they finish. So, I mean, you could certainly see six, and I don't think seven is out of the question. I think they got seven once before. And that could happen if things break a certain way. I think five or six is more likely, and probably the most likely is five.
What about Tennessee? They're a team that's got a high RPI. I would be surprised if they host just because of their record. But yeah. What have you thought about what Tony Vitello has done turning around that program? Arkansas, obviously the fans have got an interest in Tony, and then they just saw them come through here and play Arkansas three times last week.
Yeah, it's been a really, really fantastic coaching job there. And I saw those guys in the fall, and Tony was cautiously optimistic, but I think realistically he thought that they were probably still a year away. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he thought that it was going to be some growing that still needed to be done, but he really liked their arms, and their arms, of course, have carried them. It's an elite pitching staff over there, and to be number nine in the RPI right now, you know, if they can finish strong, they could conceivably host. But I just think it's going to be hard when you're sitting 9-12 in the league. I mean, you really need to get to 16 wins in conference to have a chance to host. You need to have a winning record, and I don't think that's going to happen. That would require a 7-2 finish, and their schedule is not easy remaining. You know, they got a big one this weekend against Missouri, and then you know, it doesn't really get any easier after that. So I think it's at Florida and versus Ole Miss. So it's a, you know, as long as they get to, I think, 14 SEC wins, that's where they need to be to feel safe for an at-large. And because we saw in the past, like Kentucky last year, you know, they had, I thought, a really nice body of work, but they only finished with 13 wins in conference, and they had a good RPI, but it wasn't enough. They got left out. So I think the committee has kind of signaled that they place value on that conference record. In Tennessee's case, that's where they got to do some work.
You know, when we had John Wilkerson, the Tennessee play-by-play man, on our podcast last week, he was talking about what didn't go right for Dave Serrano in Knoxville, and he mentioned that he didn't think that Serrano, maybe it took him too long to figure out what kind of arms he had to have in the SEC. And I think when you think about that and the success that the Tennessee pitching staff has had, now I know they struggled against Arkansas last week, but it seems pretty remarkable just that two-year turnaround of, you know, being a staff that gives, you know, has a high ERA to where now they're one of the top 5-10 pitching staffs in the country.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a great turnaround, and I think Frank Anderson deserves a lot of credit for that too. You know, a long time, you know, well-respected pitching coach in college baseball, who's mm-hmm. been a lot of different places, and of course former head coach at Oklahoma State, but he's done a great job there. You know, just getting the most out of those guys. They've had talent. You know, I mean, you mentioned Crochet and Garrett Stallings and Zach Lingenfelter, all those guys have taken steps forward. Andrew Schultz has made a huge jump, I mean, even since the summer. And they've completely revamped his delivery. His arm action is completely different, and the ball is just exploding now, you know. And so, you know, give Frank a lot of credit for that. But, you know, they've done a nice job getting the most out of what they have, and what they have is pretty good.
Yeah, I thought Redmond Walsh looked really good in Game 3 against Arkansas, too. Arkansas is playing for the first time this weekend, Aaron, up at the new Kentucky ballpark. Have you had a chance to take a look at that?
I haven't been yet. I was there when it was still in construction, so I got the tour with a hard hat. But okay. Kendall was there, I think, in the past fall, and he thought it was awesome. So, you know, there's so many great venues around the league now. It's crazy. But that one, you know, they needed it. I mean, obviously, you know, Cliff Hagan was way outdated. Mm-hmm. That's another program that I think is on the rise. I know they're having a bad year, but it's a good coaching staff, and now you got the facility, too. So interested to see what they do moving forward.
Yeah, I wonder, what are your thoughts on Kentucky and maybe where they are right now? When they came into Fayetteville last year, I think they were number 4 in the country and, you know, something like 14, 15 games above 500. And they're right at 500 since they played that first game against Arkansas last season. What have you seen from Kentucky over the last, say, 16 months or so?
Well, I liked their team a lot last year. I remember seeing them early in the season against Texas Tech. It might have been the week right before they played Arkansas. And I thought they were a legitimate Omaha kind of team and a team that had a chance to win it all with their arms. And they just lost a boatload, you know, from that team. They knew that was their window. And, you know, they had some bumps in the road last year and some, you know, some injury stuff like all teams do. And you look up and you wind up missing out on regionals. But we knew coming back it was going to be kind of a rebuilding year for them. You know, I mean, certainly Zach Thompson is an elite talent. He's a first-round pick to be. But other than that, I think the pitching is the biggest thing that has been an issue for them. You know, there's a lot of guys that have struggled to kind of take that next jump in the SEC, which is the hard thing to do. So I mean, I like the talent that they have in that sophomore class on the mound, but those guys, it seems like a lot of them are still kind of a year away from really taking off, kind of like, you know, like Campbell last year. You know, they'll show you flashes and but haven't quite put all together for a consistent stretch. And so I think maybe as juniors, that group could be pretty dangerous.
What have been your thoughts of the SEC East this year? Because, you know, Vanderbilt and Georgia were kind of the favorites, but it seems like the rest of that division has kind of been turned upside down. You've got South Carolina and Florida at the bottom of the division, and you've got Missouri and Tennessee a little bit higher up.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, South Carolina obviously having a rough year. Nobody expected them to be 5-16. Mm. I mean, again, they lost a lot of seniors from last year's club. That was really a senior-fueled run to the Super Regionals they made last year. And so you figured there would be a little bit of a step back. But boy, 5-16 is really surprising. And Florida, you know, I mean, they're very young. We knew that. I mean, a lot of freshmen and sophomores are having to carry the load there, and they haven't gotten what they needed from Tyler Dyson, the junior who was supposed to be kind of the ace of the staff. And so I still think they're talented and capable of getting hot and making a run. They're really talented. They're just young. And so that's hard to be young in the SEC. But, you know, I mean, the thing that we've seen is that teams that can really pitch and defend are the ones that have done well in that division. You know, Georgia is an elite pitching and defense team. Mm-hmm. Missouri, that's their calling card, is their pitching and defense. And certainly Tennessee, we talked about their pitching. So, and Vanderbilt has everything. You know, they can pitch, they can defend, they can really hit. So they're just really good, kind of like Arkansas.
Aaron, I'll get you out of here on this. You know, with 3 weeks left, what do you think the chances are that Arkansas can hold on to this two-game lead in the West and win the division? And do you think there's any chance they can keep pace with Vanderbilt, given that Vanderbilt gets to play Missouri and South Carolina and, I think, Kentucky down the stretch?
Yeah, it really favors Vanderbilt, you know, from a schedule standpoint. And I do like Arkansas' chances to win the West with that two-game lead. I think they're certainly good enough to finish pretty well down the stretch, but I'd be surprised if they can keep pace with Vandy, just because, I mean, Vandy's rolling right now, and that's a really about as favorable a schedule as you could get in the SEC at this point in the season.
All right. Well, Aaron, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com. When we come back, some thoughts on Arkansas's series win over Tennessee, also this weekend's series against Kentucky. This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app, presented by Absolute Heat and Air. Check out the all-new Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app is presented by Absolute Heat and Air. For the absolute best service, trust Absolute Heat and Air.
I mean, it's a really nice park. You know, it's like Vandy. It's 100% field turf. It's quick from what we've heard. We'll find out tonight how quick that surface is. And, you know, the ballpark itself looks nice. It's just good for our league. I mean, these nice ballparks, it's you know, the other ballpark was a little bit older, had a real short fence and right. And it just seemed like it stayed wet all the time. Rains a lot up there, and I think this is probably a real good move for them.
That was Arkansas coach Dave Van Horn on Kentucky Proud Park, the new 5,000-seat, $50 million stadium that opened in Lexington earlier this year. The Razorbacks, as we mentioned earlier, will play at the new park for the first time this weekend. Now, Kentucky's one of several SEC teams to either build a new park or overhaul an existing one in the past decade. LSU and South Carolina have opened new stadiums. Florida is building one that should be ready in a couple of years, and the parks at Mississippi State, Alabama, Texas A&M, they're unrecognizable to their old selves after major renovations that have cost anywhere from $40 million at A&M to in the $50 million range at Mississippi State. And of course, you have programs like Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, some others that have poured a lot of money into areas around their existing ballparks that benefit players and coaching staffs with new indoor areas, workout areas, coaches' offices, you name it. You know, Arkansas will break ground later this year on that $25 million addition to Wright Field that'll be used by players and staff. Dave Van Horn said he and some others have actually toured the park in Kentucky while they were in the process of developing ideas that they could pass along to architects. Now, to give you an idea of what this park in Lexington looks like, think of the early days of Baum Stadium when the seats didn't go all the way down the foul line. That's kind of what this looks like, a single-level park with some suite areas, some obviously a press box back behind home plate, but the seats go about halfway down the foul line, probably a little over halfway down the foul line, parallel with maybe where the outfielders would be standing if they were playing in quite a bit in shallow left or shallow right field. There's a little bit of a jagged corner down each foul line that could create some hazards, similar to TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. In fact, this stadium looks like a much smaller scale version of TD Ameritrade Park. Think about last year in Arkansas's game one against Oregon State when Heston Kerstad played that ball off the wall and threw out a runner at second base in the seventh inning against Oregon State. And that is kind of how this plays in Lexington, similar too, to Dickey Stevens Park in North Little Rock, where Arkansas beat Grambling State the other night at Dickey Stevens. The seats kind of come back in toward the playing field down the lines. It's a big ballpark, especially if you're a right-handed pull hitter, you're probably going to have some trouble hitting one out at this park. It's 335 down the left field line, 375 to left center, 400 to center field. Left-handers plays a little bit shorter, 365 to right center, about 10 feet in from the left center field wall, and 320 down the right field line, which is about 15 feet shorter than down left field. So it'll be interesting to watch the series this weekend at Kentucky's new park. Again, that's the latest great venue in the SEC, and with Florida opening up a new one in a couple of years, you know, it really just puts the pressure on some of these teams like a Missouri, like a Tennessee, that haven't really kept up their ballparks real well. It's going to put pressure on them, I think, too, especially being in that Eastern Division, to really, you know, ramp up and improve the facilities that they have, maybe even build new ones at some point down the line in the future. Those are really the two now that stick out in the SEC as parks that don't come close to matching up with their counterparts. It was that way at Kentucky, but Kentucky's done a really nice job in line with the other venues in the conference. Looking back real quick to last week's series against Tennessee, I thought it was as impressive a series win for Arkansas as the one the week before against Mississippi State. You know, in both series, the thing that stood out to me was that Arkansas took away the strength of the opposing team. Mississippi State came in. They were the league's top offense. They still are. But they were held to a 173 batting average in three games and only scored 10 runs. This was a team that was averaging about 27 runs a game coming into Fayetteville. So they were held to 17 runs below their season average or their season three-game average. On the flip side, Tennessee, they came to Fayetteville with the nation's top ERA. But they gave up 30 runs, 29 of them were earned, on 43 hits in those three games. Arkansas improved its slugging percentage a lot last week against Tennessee. That slugging percentage is now in the 500s. The Razorbacks had, I think, 7 home runs in the series against the Volunteers and had a number of other doubles and triples in that series. And they really played Tennessee quite well, probably as well, if not better, than any team has played the Volunteers all season. And that was against a Tennessee pitching staff, by the way, that wasn't shorthanded. And you go back to Mississippi State and the Tennessee series for Arkansas, they were shorthanded in both of those series. Against Mississippi State, they didn't have Cody Scroggins. He didn't pitch against Tennessee either. Against Mississippi State, Arkansas had to start two freshmen for the first time, Patrick Wicklander and Connor Noland, and both of those pitchers have really stepped up and thrown well over the last 2 weeks. And then you think to the Tennessee series, Matt Goodhart jams his shoulder as he's diving back into first base in game one against the Volunteers, and he didn't play in games two or three, and the offense really never skipped a beat without a 395 hitter, the best hitter on the team. And so Arkansas has done a really good job. I asked Dave Van Horn something along those lines last Sunday after the 4-3 win over Tennessee about Arkansas being able just to win in whatever the environment they find themselves in, whether it's a high-scoring game, the 14-12 game against Vanderbilt, or the 11-9 game in game one against Tennessee, or if it's a low-scoring game. They've won some low-scoring games too, including that Sunday game against Tennessee. And here's what he had to say.
I mean, this team is it's pretty much fearless. They just play, and they think they can win, and they don't really care how far they're down. If they've got some at-bats left, they feel like they can come back. And even going into the ninth, I really didn't say a whole lot. I said a few things in the eighth. I told them we need to score in the eighth and tie this thing up. And the ninth didn't really say a whole lot, but they were doing all the kind of the chit-chatting in there basically on, you know, it was good to hear. And I kind of just stood over there and listened, I wanted to see how they acted because I didn't know if we were going to tie the game, win the game, but I just wanted to see how they reacted. Maybe I could talk about it a little bit, but it was upbeat and, hey, we're going to find a way to win this game.
Have you been pleased with that, the kind of ownership that they've taken within the team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's better than I would have thought it would have been because we have so many new guys playing and new leaders. I mean, we lost a lot of veterans last year and, I can honestly tell you, they didn't even know who to pick captains. They didn't know who to pick captains. I mean, Casey Opitz wasn't selected as our captain, and he's one of our captains. That's the way I feel about it. So, and I tell you, every coach does too, and I think probably 90% of the players feel that way, that he's our captain, one of them, for sure.
Now that you've seen him in person, any thoughts on Tony's team and what he's done there in 2 years?
I think they've done a really nice job, honestly. They pitch really well. They throw a lot of strikes. They don't give you too much freebie stuff. I know the lefty got a little bit wild, but, I mean, his stuff is big league now. And, they're going to win a lot of games down the stretch. They've probably got 6 home and 3 away, and they've been really good at home this year. So, obviously, they're going to be in the SEC tournament. They're going to be in a regional. They have a high RPI. The strength of schedule was 5 going into today. We were 6, so they're probably 4, and we're probably 5. RPI was, what, like 10 or somewhere in there? I don't know what it was. So they just go take care of business, and they will because they have the arms to do it. They're going to be fine. And they haven't been in a regional since when, like 2005, something like that. So that's what I see from now. I see that they're going to, whatever regional they go to, you're not going to want to see them show up with that pitching staff.
Now, as Aaron Fitt mentioned earlier, the Razorbacks are in great shape to host a regional. It would be very surprising if Arkansas didn't host a regional at this point. And right now, they're in good shape to be a top 8 national seed. They would really have to falter, I think, down the stretch in order to lose one of those top 8 seeds, although those are more difficult to obtain, obviously, than one of the top 16 seeds that can get you a regional. And if you get Arkansas in this ballpark in the postseason, you've got to like their chances to potentially make it back to the College World Series. Doesn't mean they can't lose there, but over the last 3 years, Arkansas is 88-17 in its home stadium. 88-17, including 25-5 this year. It's been an absolutely incredible run that Arkansas has had at home over the last few years. It would be difficult to find any team that has been as good at home as the Razorbacks have been. But Arkansas, they've got to win this series this weekend before they can start thinking about any of the regional, super regional, hosting, top eight national seed, anything like that. They've got to win this series. Kentucky, as we said, is one of the league's worst teams. They've got five conference wins. Surprisingly, two of those were over Ole Miss. And a series loss for Arkansas this weekend could push Arkansas back toward the pack in not only the SEC West, but in terms of teams that are looking to be regional hosts. It could push Arkansas back toward the pack the way it did Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks back when Ole Miss lost to Kentucky and Oxford. Arkansas has been really good on the road this year. They've won three of their four series. Of course, won 2 of 3 at USC, 2 of 3 at Auburn, 2 of 3 against Alabama. The only road series loss for the Razorbacks this season was the one at Vanderbilt, when Vanderbilt won games 1 and 2, and the Razorbacks won the series finale to avoid being swept. Vanderbilt, of course, probably the number 2 national seed if the season were to end today, just behind UCLA. As I said earlier, we'll have a big show for you next week as Arkansas prepares to host LSU. A lot of eyes will be on the Razorbacks down the stretch, not only with that series against LSU, which should be just a big one that might break some attendance records in Fayetteville, to be quite frank. It's a weekend that if Arkansas can do some stuff this weekend in Kentucky, and maybe those teams that are behind can beat up on one another, with a good weekend against LSU, Arkansas could potentially clinch the West at home before that final series of the year down at Texas A&M. It's been a great year so far for the Razorbacks, 35-11, 15-6 in the SEC, and I think it's safe to say that no one saw this coming, not even probably the coaching staff. Dave Van Horn said before the season he wasn't even sure that Arkansas was going to be a top 25 team, and now the Razorbacks are playing like one of the best teams in the country. It's been quite a year to watch. We appreciate you for joining us this week. Hope you'll read us at wholehogsports.com throughout the weekend for our coverage from Lexington. Until next week, I'm Matt Jones. Have a great day, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.